we have a, or had, a really what would be an expensive gunite pool, and it takes up most of our yard. And because it was neglected over the years, it needed a lot of work. So it was a very complicated job. It was expensive. It was really very difficult to even find somebody who would take the job on. And for a variety of reasons, we decided to do something maybe that sounds a little crazy, but we decided to actually get rid of our pool because the pool takes up the whole yard, and now we have the four young kids. Not all of them could swim. We are going to be getting a dog. So for all those reasons, maybe the biggest point for us was we had our house assessed by a realtor. Shout out to Joe Garcia in Farmingdale, a great realtor. He did an assessment, and he told us that the house was worth no more with the pool. He said that 50, and at least where we are on Long Island, 50% of people would be interested, 50% would be completely disinterested. So for that reason, it didn't help the value of our home, and you know, we only were going to use it for a short time, and between all those reasons, we decided to get rid of the pool. And it was very interesting. This is an interesting job to do, to remove a cement pool from a relatively or very small yard. So we began our journey of looking for somebody to do the job. And we actually got, I believe it was 5 estimates. So let's see if I can remember all of them. There was one guy who he was asking me about the job, and he asked me to send him a picture of the pool so he can kind of know what he was dealing with. And he didn't really respond. So I had a follow-up with him. I said, hey, I just want to make sure you got the picture and just find out what our next step is, if you want to come and chat. And his only response, I don't know if you're going to believe me, but I promise you this was his response. He wrote 20K. It's all he wrote. He didn't say anything about the job, what it would be, any next steps. He just literally texted me. And I don't know how many people are signing up for $20,000 jobs via a text, but I thought that was absolutely crazy. And then he wrote back after that. He wrote, "You like?" No, I did not like. So that was one guy. Another guy was this one was actually, I appreciated this guy. Can't remember his name, but I looked him up online. He had great reviews. People said he was fair, reasonable, and he did great work. So I was excited to call him, and he was really honest with me. He said, you know, it's a little more complicated of a job than I even like to take on. You guys are down by the water. There's a lot of pressure issues. So I just don't do that type of job. So I'm sorry, but I'm not going to do it. So that was guy number two. However, he did recommend a third guy that he thought would be good for the job. He said, this guy does this kind of thing, and give him a call. So called guy number three. And he said, he answered the phone, and he acted almost like a little annoyed because, you know, I'm calling his phone to do business. And he said he was on vacation and he was going to call me when he got back. And still waiting, no call from him. Then who else? Number four was this kind of high-end company that we actually got a quote for doing some work on the pool when we were going to keep the pool. And same kind of thing, just kind of, you know, it was either a text or an email just with a price. It was like really just didn't feel right. That brings us to guy number five. So huge shout out to Lou from Dirtworks here. If you ever need to remove a pool, Lou's your guy. I'll tell you why. Because I called Lou and we scheduled an appointment. And he did something that is so rare nowadays. He actually showed up. He showed up on time, and he was very pleasant. He was professional, not over the top, but he was wearing his shirt and very professional. Checked it out. Said he would, you know, he would take some measurements and he would do his thing, and he would send over a proposal. And then another amazing thing happened, and he actually sent over the proposal, or either him or his assistant. Which first guy that I've seen have an assistant, emailed the proposal, and it was really professional. It had, you know, a header, It had a bulleted item list of how they were going to do it and what they were going to do. And it had the amount it was going to be. It had the process on there in terms of getting permits. It talked about payments and what was due when. And so that you know, made him stand so far above all the others. And it wasn't, you know, I'm sure it wasn't that much work. And then so far, they're actually in the middle of the job now. So far, it's been a good experience. And Lou came the first day and we were talking and he was just there to kind of explain to us the process. And he had his guys out doing the job. And he actually called it, and I agree, it's a well-oiled machine. He's got his assistant who helps him with communication. He's got himself who does the estimates. He deals directly with the customers, and he has his guys that are doing the work. And he said that sometimes, you know, a guy gets sick, but he's got a job. He doesn't want to let the customer down, so he jumps in. He does the work. He's outside digging. And then he puts a hold on new business, on new estimates, because he wants to take care of what's guaranteed, his current clients or customers. So it's not overly complex, but it's crazy how rare it is for people to kind of just do some of these basic things, and how much more successful would they be. And so we've had this, I'm sure you've had this experience before. We've had the same thing with, we're also looking for landscapers to do the next step. And same thing, you know, one guy after the next, you know, they come, they spend time, they either don't call back, they don't send an estimate, they don't respond, they respond unprofessionally. And hey, I'm not trying to, you know, to try to judge everybody. I know it's hard. I know people are busy, but, you know, what kind of gets me is a lot of times these are the same people that complain about, you know, about they don't, you know, they can't find the business. So just an encouragement to all of us, you know, if we have somebody that's interested, that's a priority. You know, get connected with them, call them back, smile. And if it's a current client who has an issue, you know, get on the phone with them, or if you need to delegate it, do it well. People, they need to see that you care. And that's what Lou did. And one of the bigger takeaways here, because the title is called The Power of Focus, and it's one of the reasons why I think Lou is so successful, and why he got our job and our business, is because he tries to dominate the pool removal business. You see, some of these other guys, it's not the only thing they did. So they do a bunch of things. You know, they do landscaping and they do patios and they do other, you know, construction projects. And yeah, they also remove pools. But Lou, he specializes in pool removals. In fact, his website is like removemypool.com or something like that. And he just branded his business to be the pool removal guy. So it makes sense. He knows what he's doing. He's not getting distracted by trying to be a million different things to a million different people. He just wants to do a really good job, serve his customer well. And yeah, he does do ancillary services, but they're just that. They're just ancillary. They're not the main thing. 90% of what he does is pool removals, and it pays off. So we can really take that and learn from it. Doesn't mean we shouldn't offer multiple services, but just like I talked about in the flywheel and the doom loop section of Good to Great, the successful businesses are the ones that continue to push that boulder or push that flywheel over and over and over and over, and they're consistent, and they're doing things that they're passionate about, that they're there's an economic sense to it, and that they can be the best at, and they're doing it, and that's what Lou has done, and that's what I recommend we all do. It's so easy to get distracted. Hey, here I am running a financial coaching business in addition to a personal training business. So I think about it often. It has to align with your values and your mission and your business, and just be careful not to get too far off track from those things. This is supposed to be a bite-sized episode, of course, but I always have a little more I want to share. I want to share some practical ways that you can stay focused, and I'll talk about three things. So number one is doing a time audit. This is something I often have my clients do. How are you spending your time? If you're trying to be more productive in your business or in your personal life, how you spend your time is arguably the most important thing. Are you doing high leveraged or the big levers, as they're called, the things that move the needle, or are you doing the little things? What are some high lever, high leverage tasks. It's, you know, it's doing sales, it's doing marketing, it's working on strategy, it's working on your goals and your vision, it's leading your team, it's those kinds of things. You know, what are the things that don't move the needle? It's these little things. It's spending time scrolling on social media. It's having these conversations that that don't need to be had. It's checking email constantly. And listen, we're all guilty of that. I don't care what anybody says. We're all human. We all fall into that stuff. I do myself. But you have to keep yourself in check and do a periodic time audit and, you know, rank yourself. Are you doing things that you're really good at and that you enjoy doing and the things that produce results? Or are you doing things that you don't like doing, the things that don't move the needle? We want to spend our time on those things that we're uniquely gifted at and the things that are going to move that business forward. There's no necessarily one way to do this. Some people, maybe a big important task is going to be to send out marketing newsletters. For somebody else, it's doing Facebook Live videos to connect with their audience. For others, it's going to be focusing on marketing plans and other things. So whatever that is for you, you need to make sure that's in your calendar. So that's number one, doing a time audit, and you're going to either, get rid of things that don't need to be done. You're going to delegate them to somebody that can do it as good or better than you. You're going to put it off, and then you're going to do it if you need to, if it's important and it's going to be beneficial in the long run. And that reminds me to the second quick point here, which is I heard from Rory Vaden. He has a new book called Procrastinate on Purpose, a great title. And he talks about something a little bit different from a lot of the productivity stuff you hear in terms of, getting things done and those kinds of things. He talked about looking at the things that are going to help you to leave a legacy, and that's powerful. So what are the things, it's not just, and I mentioned, some really important things like sales and leading your team, but really think through those things and say, hey, what are the things that are going to allow me to leave a legacy? These are the things that are going to make a difference with people. I think leadership would definitely fall in this category. It's the things that are going to make a difference when I'm not here. That's what legacy is. And that's powerful. It's not easy because sometimes those are the things that don't produce immediate results, which we need to do. But they're the things that really make the biggest difference in the long term. So I just thought that was an interesting take on evaluating the things you're doing and what you're doing and how you're doing them. And then finally, I want to share a little point on just building in some good habits. You've probably heard of The Miracle Morning. I actually haven't read it. I know the different parts of it, and I think I do all of them or most of them at some level. And I think it's so important in helping stay focused. For example, if you're getting up in the morning, you're grabbing your phone, you're scrolling through it, you're jumping into your email, and you're just kind of running around like a chicken with your head cut off, it's going to be very difficult to stay focused. But if you can wake up a little bit earlier, do some quiet time. For me, it's silence and solitude and prayer and that kind of thing. And that really sets the tone for my day. It slows me down physiologically. It helps me feel less anxious, and it helps me get more clear-headed so I could have a better day. And there's other parts to that as well, like reading, like affirmations, and look at visualization, exercise, different ways to move your body in the morning, even if it's just going for a walk. Those things can really set the tone, and you're starting with a win, and those are the kinds of things that are going to help you in the long run, in the short term and the long run. So there you have it for today. I hope this was helpful for you, but the power of focus. It's, being like Lou and not trying to be all things to all people, trying to get really good at what you do best and just capitalizing on that as much as possible. It's one of the biggest challenges for entrepreneurs is we all have so many ideas. I literally thought of a new idea for a business yesterday. But hey, is that the right thing to do? Or should I just focus on what's in front of me? It's the whole acres of diamonds things. Like, we all have what we need. We just have to do it. And if you have other ideas, there's nothing wrong with thinking through those. When you have time, you can maybe even make some plans, and then eventually it could happen, but it's got to be the right timing. And then doing a time audit to stay focused, making sure that you're doing high level tasks and procrastinating on purpose, doing the things that matter most, especially the things that are going to help you to leave a legacy. And then finally, it's building in some good habits, whether that's exercise, prayer, meditation, solitude, journaling, visualization, reading, like I said, movement, any combination of those things will set you up to be better focused. So hope you found this episode useful. I would love to know your thoughts. And most importantly, take action. You know, I don't want to just to listen passively and do nothing. I want you to listen to it and start, even if you just do one of those things in that last point, you just start journaling 2 minutes, 5 minutes a day. It's a great start. So thanks so much for listening. And if you have any questions, if you're interested in doing some coaching, helping you get more productive and to reach your goals, you can reach out to me at financialfreedompt@gmail.com. And again, feel free to leave a positive review and share this with anybody who you think it could help. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. Until next time, you're listening to the Your Fitness Money Coach podcast.